This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan McLean. I have been a longtime friend of Pastor Gene, and it's a blessing for me to be able to fill in this place today for Raising a Standard. I want to just first of all ask everyone who's listening, friends and believers in the community, to remember Gene in prayer as he is scheduled. Perhaps by this point, maybe he would have already had his open heart surgery. But if it hasn't taken place yet, it will shortly. And so Gene and Donna both, we have been lifting them up in prayer. They're precious leaders in our community, and we want to remember them in prayer. There's also another thing that I wanted to mention today as we open this program, and that is a very dear friend to the Kingdom of God and to the Treasure Coast of Florida, Jim Way, went to be with the Lord. And his memorial service is going to be in Lake Wales this coming Saturday, which will be today at 11 o'clock. And so by the time this program's airing, that will have taken place. But please remember Capernaum Ministries and Sherry Way and those that are involved in that ministry as well. Let's just pray for one moment. Father, we thank you today that you're a faithful God in all things. We ask you to continue the healing work in Gene. And in Donna, we thank you for their ministry. Thank you for all these years here at WCNO and the great listening audience that they have. Ask you, Father, that you would bring total healing to Gene's body as well as to Donna. Give them many more years of fruitful service. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and we remember Sherry Way, Capernaum Ministries. And we ask you, Lord, that your comfort, your strength, and your presence would be great with Sherry in these days, as well as with the ministry, for guidance and direction. Father, be with us today as we share with our community in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have Chris Fogle with me, and Chris is going to join in as we discuss really something that's very dear to our heart, and I believe also to the heart of God and to the entire body of Christ. And that basically is that God has a call on us to do greater things together than we could ever do by ourselves. I was given a book some time back by Ray Underwood from Palm Beach, and the book was entitled Better Together. And it simply was is a book that talks about the tremendous power of God that's released when churches, when leaders come together. And I know that many in this community are a part of that as far as in prayer, and also very open and a part participant in seeing that take place here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. Some very exciting events have taken place over the Christmas season, and we're believing God, Chris, for great things in this coming year as well. And so I'll just say my name is Jonathan McLean. I pastor church here in town. And I'm a part of the body of Christ. We really want to lift Jesus up today. That's what it's all about. Chris, introduce yourself a bit and let's talk about some of the great things God is doing, and then later we'll get into the Word.
Well, yes, Chris Fogel. I'm a local certified public accountant, have been in this area for over 30 years. Recently, I became an ordained pastor, ordained minister, if you would, under Capernaum Ministries. And I'm also an independent board member of a public company, so I have quite a busy slate. But very much excited about what is going on in our community, Jonathan. Just so much is happening.
Chris, tell us a little bit about the Treasure Coast Christmas Proclamation Supper that took place back on the 10th of December. That I believe was and is going to prove to be a great significance in what God is looking to do in the Treasure Coast in the coming days.
Well, it's something that was never done before, to my knowledge, in the Treasure Coast. And it really was ignited by Jim Way, who we prayed over his spirit this morning. Jim said, let's put together a Christmas proclamation supper for the Treasure Coast. And in doing so, this was done and and really given to us in November. And I basically said, Jim, I don't know how we can get this done. And Jim said, you will get it done. And he organized and put together a group of pastors, with Jonathan, you being one of them. And together, there were six pastors that basically were charged with going on their knees before God and having God put on their heart a proclamation for the Treasure Coast. And these proclamations were in all different areas, from business to education to army. There were six of them. And the thing that was incredible was we had pastors from Stewart, Port St. Lucie, and Fort Pierce, business leaders from all over the Treasure Coast, and civic leaders. We had the sheriff, the superintendent of schools. It was just an incredible group of people that got together in a very short period of time, and we just gave God all the glory, because without God, this wouldn't have happened. We had 270 people on the night of December 10th gathered together that I believe was one of the most powerful meetings I don't know how to put it in my words, but just a spiritual gathering that was heartfelt, that I think that overwhelmed people that were there, some who were not really, I would say, Jonathan, devout Christians, some civic leaders, but they were so excited when they left. And I give this story, and maybe I'm a little bit out of school, but the public defender who was there called the sheriff the next morning and said, I can't believe what I witnessed. And I mean, just the excitement was incredible. But it was not an event. It's really the birthing of what's going to occur on the Treasure Coast, of bringing the body of Christ together. Without the egos and the logos, it's the spiritual body coming together, and we're already seeing great things that God is doing in our community.
You know, Chris, I believe many listening today would perhaps wonder why they didn't know anything about this, how this could have taken place, and they may not have heard a thing or been invited or whatever. In the days to come, there are going to be other events, obviously, that take place. But this came together pretty quick, didn't it?
Unbelievably quick. I mean, there was so much that had to be organized. And, the beautiful thing was there were six private donors that came together and paid for the entire cost of that night. None of the people had to pay anything for the dinner that was served, and they did an excellent job. But it just was remarkable, again, how everybody came together as quickly as they did. And at first, Jonathan, I was concerned that we would be even able to get 250 people in such a short time, because it was Christmas time and so many things were going on and so many conflicts. But God's hand was at work, and it was just powerful.
It was indeed powerful. Bringing the pastors together for prayer and a bit of planning just prior to that event was a great joy to me. To be sort of reunited with some of the brothers. I mean, Sam Chess I've known for a lot of years, and Sam has a very strong ministry in the area. Eduardo Ureña is another great Spanish pastor that has been on the Treasure Coast for years and has a tremendous heart for God, and is another brother that participated. Jerry Curry, many would know Jerry. He also is a brother that's just strong of faith, full of faith and strong in the Word, ministering the Treasure Coast. And Walter Barron. I didn't know Walter Barron up until really just recently, the last few months. I guess he's been a friend of yours for a while.
Well, Walter, to give everyone an idea of my background, I wasn't even going to church as late as maybe 10 years ago. And I got involved in a Bible study that met once a week. And Walter was a part of that. And Walter was a mentor, a very gentle person. And we have become closer than brothers. I mean, just he has just always been there for me and has helped me in my growth. And together, Walter and I started what's called the Caravan for Christ, which has been a powerful occurrence that goes on every month in St. Lucie County, primarily in the northern part of the county, where people gather at different churches. And we are escorted by the sheriff's department over a pre-designed route, and everyone in their cars are in prayer, and we give them a guide of things to pray for, whether it's first responders, education, our civic leaders, the nation, the church. It's just powerful. And this goes on every month. And Walter and I had a chance to start that. Actually started as a walk, but many of the people that were senior in age complained a little bit, and it was really Walter's idea to say, well, why don't we try a caravan with cars? And it's become powerful. In fact, Eduardo Ureña that you mentioned, when we held the caravan at his church, the sheriff's department said that we had up to 100 cars that night.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And I believe that I heard Chaplain Dave, who was also one of the individuals, one of the spiritual leaders that spoke at the event, he was talking about the impact of just the prayer, the brothers coming together, and the work of the kingdom in St. Lucie County and how that's impacted crime and other things. Do you have any knowledge of that?
Well, it's Dave is modest, but I will tell you that what has occurred has been incredible. Dave has a pastor's luncheon, which is the first Wednesday of every month, and it's held over at Linmore. And the one in December, he had a sheriff's deputy, we had a lady from the city of Fort Pierce, and Donna Mills from the school board attest to God's work, his kingdom work in Fort Pierce in the 2.5 years that the pastors have been together in prayer. The sheriff's deputy said that when he first joined the force, the amount of homicides in Fort Pierce was off the chart. He said this year, if we have 2 or 3, he says that will be it. He says the prayer has had not only an impact on the reduction of crime in Fort Pierce, but also, he said, the morale of the officers has changed. He says they have seen firsthand that this caravan is not just an event, but that God is working as a result of all people coming together in prayer over our community. And that pastor's meeting that we have every Tuesday morning is diversified. It's black, it's white, it's Hispanic, and it's, again, the body of Christ coming together, and God has been just so generous in his blessings. The school, for example, Wayne Gent, who's attended, who was there at the proclamation supper, is so proud of the fact that the graduation rate that just came out was 90%, which was the highest of the five counties surrounding. And he is attributing it to the prayers. And he's, in his response to me yesterday when I sent him a text, he says, please keep praying for our schools.
That's tremendous. That is tremendous. I also wanted to mention that L.C. Campbell linked up with us that evening at the proclamation, and we really can just say a big thank God. That was a tremendous night. All of these brothers, they prepared, as you said, a proclamation as they were on their knees and before God. And these proclamations are powerful. It's from the Word of God. It's the heart of God, I believe, for the Treasure Coast of Florida. And so this really is a tremendous thing. You know, Chris, we're blessed in this area. Sometimes I'll just drive over the bridge and in the morning, and I will think how many people would give anything to live on the Treasure Coast. And I'm a native. I was born in Florida, grew up here on the Treasure Coast, and love this area. But there's a greater treasure than we have in the natural, and that is the treasure that God has for us, not just here on the Treasure Coast, but across our nation and certainly around the world. But here on the Treasure Coast of Florida, I believe that the desire of God is to do something greater in a kingdom sense than perhaps has ever been accomplished here. And a big part of that is calling the body of Christ to step away from maybe for a moment their individual priorities and make the kingdom of God a higher priority, a first priority, and then our secondary places of service, let those fit as God has placed us. You're a part of that, Chris. I see God working in your life. I see God using you. I see God using Chaplain Dave and so many others across this area. And I wanted to just mention that Tom Gene and Donna Helton, they have so graciously let us use their airtime today. And Chris, I just want to say that, you know, they have been faithful to God a long time here in the Treasure Coast. I don't know if you've had opportunity to be a part of the Bible Marathon, Chris. Have you ever participated in that?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, it's a tremendous event. The reading of the scriptures from Genesis all the way through the end of Revelation. This has been taking place every year, and they have spearheaded this. And not only have they been coordinators, but they have been the primary movers. And there have been a lot of times when others may not have shown up, and they were just there to be faithful. And also, Gene and Donna have had a heart for prayer for the region, for the Treasure Coast, bringing pastors together. And they have been meeting for years with a group here of pastors in prayer. And that is tremendous. I know you were talking about the prayer group that's in St. Lucie County. Here in Martin County, there have been different groups. Just thinking of some of these positive things that are taking place. Pastor Rick Addison from the Grace Place, he has been calling pastors together for a number of years for a luncheon. And this is tremendous. This group is an opportunity to build relationships across denominational barriers. It basically is a luncheon, but it has been very instrumental. And Pastor Daryl Orman invited me down to a co-op. I really enjoyed that down in Palm Beach. I believe it was mostly the Southern Baptists, but it was open to anyone. And Chris, we just see God doing some awesome things that cross all the barriers and lift Jesus up on the Treasure Coast.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I wanted to share was one of the booklets that we had at everyone's table that night was a book called The Raising of an Army. And I think that really ties into what this whole effort is all about, because God's all about order. God's not messy. God doesn't do things helter-skelter. God is all about order. We only have to look at creation to know all about God's order. And one of the things that booklet that's been given to everyone that was there talked about the ministry components of what we have to do with establishing elders in our Treasure Coast and structuring an area-wide men's ministry, an area-wide family ministry, and one that I hope to have a gentleman come down to the Treasure Coast is a gentleman that spoke on fresh expressions, outreaches, because churches in many ways are done differently. As you know, Jonathan, I have a church in my home on Monday night. It's five people. That's all. That's it. My wife feeds them dinner, and then we do study. So we're trying to get people to know who Jesus Christ is. And the only way we're going to do that is to be structured as a ministry that covers every aspect of our community. So, for example, I know that in Stewart, on the third Thursday of every month, they have a men's Bible study and luncheon that meets at Southern Pig and Cattle.
Right.
And these are some significant people in the business community, like Tony Barletta, Mike Houston, and others that have put this together. So what we're trying to do is to try to create order amongst all the groups that are meeting so that we can make it a more powerful attraction to those people that don't know who Jesus is. Because, Jonathan, before I even went to Bible study, and I have to say this, I was one of those guys that said, "Are you born again?" And I go, "Yeah, whatever. You know, if that's what you want to hear," and
right,
that's what I would tell them. I used to have this feeling that these people were phony. Now, that's hard for people that have grown up in the church, that have been through the church and love Christ. It's hard for them to hear that, but there's many of those people out there. But if God can take someone like me, who was so opposed to just about everything, and not only twist me and turn me around and convict me with his word, but then to get me, and I mean get me because I fought it, to go to the seminary for 3 years, I thought it was Satan. I thought Satan was playing with my mind. But God had bigger plans for me. And if we can get people in our community that don't know Christ, there are people out there that could be, that we can reach, that could become powerful for the kingdom. So I'm really excited about the raising of an army in our Treasure Coast. And Jonathan, you and I have the resources. There are people who may call in or want to know, well, where do you get a copy of this Christmas proclamation? Or where do you get books on the raising of an army? I believe at some point we can provide them with an address, to get this material, but we have it.
That's a great question, because I'm sure people will be thinking, how can I be a part of what God is doing in a greater way, and link up my business, link up my part as a civic servant in some area of employment in our area, the Treasure Coast, or perhaps ministry leaders. We really desire for ministry leaders to come together.
That's the key. That's the key, because when people start seeing pastors and business leaders and civic leaders coming together, they'll know now that this is more powerful. They'll know that this is not some parochial movement, but this is a public movement, a public outcry for Christ.
Chris, I did a little soul searching before coming in to make this recording for today. I was just kind of thinking, when did God really plant a seed in my heart about the importance of the body of Christ coming together? And I believe the moment that at least came to my mind was about 25 years ago. I had graduated from Hope Sound Bible College, or attended college there, and I had went back. I was taking an advanced homiletic course and was in the process of developing, I believe, my final message to deliver as a part of that class. And as I was in prayer, the question was just raised inside of me. If the Apostle Paul was looking to come to the Treasure Coast of Florida, and he had a message from God to bring to us, How would he get the body of Christ together to deliver that message, since we are so spread out and so separated by our signs, our backgrounds, our traditions, and all those things? And that was kind of the topic of the message that I put together. And I just did some research at that time. There's, you know, hundreds of different churches, denominations. There's so many different groups of people. And so often we do not profit from the opportunity of coming together collectively and being able to enjoy the body of Christ, the presence of Christ, as God really designed and desires for us to do. And I've always remembered that from that day, that that God has a message to cities. He speaks to cities. He raises up churches in cities. He raises up leaders in cities. They're anointed. They're appointed for specific tasks and seasons of time. And in our city, in the Treasure Coast, up your way, Chris, more to the north, there are pillar churches that have been serving God for years. Many churches have been started out of them. And there are pastors that God has established that have a heart for more than just an individual kingdom, perhaps their local congregation. They also recognize that we're called of God to minister and pastor the body of Christ at large.
So much that we have to do. I mean, this is the time. You know, I've heard it often said, for such a time as this, and sometimes I think it's been misused, but in this case, for such a time as this, is really what we need to be focused on. And I believe now, as a result of the Christmas Proclamation Supper, and all the people that came together, Jonathan, you saw that. We saw many black pastors, white pastors, Hispanic. It was a true gathering. And we've got to keep that momentum going, because my hope is that it will not only exceed all our ambitions, but it will spread out to the Palm Beaches, to Broward, Dade, and all across this country, that this will ignite a fire, that it's truly a movement of God, and God rewards obedience, and we've seen it time and time again. And I really think for such a time as this, this is what Paul would be looking to do, to gather us together, because I think each pastor who is involved with this Treasure Coast Coalition will see their own church flourish, because the people, the congregations, will see the efforts of what their pastors are doing, knowing that it's about God. And the one thing that every denomination has, every Christian denomination, is we serve but one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And that I think is really the key. That's the thing that got me through the seminary, was to be able to know that I could come out and make a difference. I had no idea what God had in store for me when I went through the seminary. It was a sacrifice for my wife, especially because every night, every weekend was a tremendous amount of study and writing, as you well know. And when I graduated, I had still no clue. I thought, now what I'm going to do? I'm not going to pastor a church. That's not who I am. But because of Jim Way's influence, Jim basically helped shape me to be this person that can work with the pastors and the business leaders and the civic leaders, because of my experience prior to my ministry, where I've been in the business world, where I've been in the civic world. So God's drawing us all up. We all have different roles, but this is a movement of God. There is no way 15 years ago, if you'd have told me I'd have been on a phone call with you discussing this, I'd have said, I don't know what's in your cup, but I want some of it. But, you know, God can take any person. So whoever's listening, no matter how old or how young, God has got a purpose for each one of you. Any one of you that are listening, God has a purpose for you. That I can testify until he calls me home.
And that purpose may be in many different fields, as you come from one area, and this whole coalition is about bringing people from all of the giftings that God has given us into agreement with God's plan for the area. Chris, I wanted to just read a few verses of scripture from John chapter 17. And this is the prayer that Jesus prayed in verses 20 through 23. And I want to share those verses because some have said that this is one prayer that Jesus prayed that has not yet been fully answered. Obviously, we all know that the prayer that Jesus prays is going to be answered. And so why not now, Chris? Why not with us? Why not on the Treasure Coast? Why wouldn't we see this take place? This is the prayer that Jesus prayed. My prayer is not for them alone, just the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Chris, this is a powerful scripture that shook me several years ago. We've been involved in missions and door-to-door evangelism, conventions, outreaches, all kinds of various evangelistic events, and all of them have been good and have had their merit. But I believe the one thing that has been weak amongst us in the body of Christ is to understand that Jesus said, as we are brought into agreement with the Father, by the Spirit, through the Word, in communities, as a body of believers, that the community is able to see and know that Jesus is the Christ. Chris, that's what really matters. This is what the world needs. They need to recognize that Jesus is the Christ. And so many look at us and say we're divided, and we all teach different things. And many people have enough religion to try to quote the scripture that, the scripture says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then they'll say the church, many unbelievers will say the church looks like many, many lords, many faiths, and many baptisms. But according to the Word of God, we are brought into agreement by the Spirit of God. And I know anytime we talk about unity, some people get all nervous as if, my goodness, don't talk about unity. That means you're going to compromise the Word of God. That means that you're not going to stand for anything. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. In fact, division is the work of the devil, separating the body of Christ, keeping us independent, separating pastors from each other, and not having the heart of God for our region. That is truly the work of the devil to cause division. Because the scripture says clearly that a city or house divided against itself, Matthew's gospel, we find this 12:25, a city or a house divided against itself will not stand. Satan is fully aware of the power of division and has worked this effectively through denominations, through our backgrounds, our traditions, through race, through many things. But today is a day, I believe, for the body of Christ to understand that God is wanting to get us together and get us prepared for a great harvest of souls and for the return of Jesus Christ.
Well, I tell you, the one word that you raise is really, I think, Satan's greatest weapon in this world, and that's division.
It is.
We see what's going on in this country right now. But yet, if you would take the people that are on opposite sides of any issue that's going on, let's say nationally, and you set them down at a table, and you feed them, and you let them talk, you can see the division starts to waver. And, Paul talked about us coming together in fellowship. And fellowship is really part of what this movement is all about. Because unless we fellowship in the body of Christ, we're constantly going to be at odds. And, you know, the passage that you read in John 17, you know, Jesus isn't singling out any particular nationality or anything. It's his entire creation. There is no one that is left out, omitted. God's grace is for everyone who will accept it. But it's going to come from us really starting more fellowship with one another so that we can break some of the barriers. You know, whether it's a Baptist or a Pentecostal can sit down, and the first thing they'll do is break bread and give thanks to Christ. We serve the same Lord. We just go about things maybe a little bit differently, but it's still the same Jesus. And our prayers go before him to the Father. And again, I think that's one thing that we've gotten away from, Jonathan, and I see it in the homes, you know, where the families used to sit down and have dinner, fellowship. You know, the kids already had a meal at McDonald's or, you know, or whatever the case is. But we've got to take a look at that fellowship. That's what we had on the Christmas proclamation. People sat down at tables, many with whom they did not know. And by the end of the night, they had made acquaintances that they now will be lasting. And so I think that's part of what we're doing is also trying to create a fellowship amongst believers.
Absolutely. You know, prayer is foundational to this. Sometimes people will just question, how can I connect? You mentioned the Baptists, the Pentecostals, and God is able to bring us together. I believe when Paul was talking in 1 Corinthians 2, and he said, when I came came in with you, I purposed to know nothing other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Part of the problem in coming into agreement for prayer, for fellowship, for ministry together, is that there's a lot of baggage. Many times that the enemy would love for us to focus on rather than the main thing, and that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. There are three things that the Lord has just really impressed on my heart out of that passage in John 17, and of course there's many other scriptures that would bear this. But our love for God, obviously, is going to be first and foremost. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. We understand this, that we are to love God individually. As pastors, in our congregations, we're to love God together, worship him together as a body of believers. And that's appropriate, and that is good. But there is even a higher calling, and that is for a region, a city, for the body of Christ to love God together, cooperatively. And that is what happened the other night, and we're looking to see a lot more of this on the Treasure Coast, loving God. The second thing is we're to love each other. And in our own hearts as individuals, this starts in our home. It starts with our wife, with our family. It spreads on out as pastors into our congregation, into that realm of fellowship that we're closest to. But again, just as we're to love God individually and as a body of believers, we're also to love each other as a body of believers. And the lost, we're to witness individually. And I believe most of us in the body of Christ have this as a very high priority of sharing our faith. And we're to do that individually. We're to make disciples. We're to minister as local congregations. And I believe, again, just as loving God is to be done in the body across all the barriers. We're to love each other across the barriers. We're to love the lost together. So, Chris, when I look at this and I think about the opportunities that would exist in the kingdom, if we together in the body of Christ, as pastors, as congregations, as the true body of Christ, who lift up Jesus Christ, as we do that together, there is an expression of who Jesus is as we love God, worship God, love each other together, love the lost individually and together. There is a work of God that is powerful, that is released in a region. Years ago, I had the opportunity, Chris, of traveling with Roosevelt Muriel. He was from Cali, Colombia. Cali, Colombia had experienced just tremendous devastation through drug cartels. And the pastors were mostly like they are everywhere else in the world. They were pretty much, first of all, focused, obviously, you know, we would all say we're focused on God first, but pastors had their own churches, they had their own responsibilities, their own calendars, they had their own budgets, and that kind of tied up their list of responsibilities. But the condition became so desperate in Cali, Colombia, that Pastor Rubal began to talk to pastors and say, we have got to get together and pray. We've got to seek God. We've got to fast. God is the only answer to the conditions in our land, in our nation. And if we don't seek God, we're going to continue to see this devastation. Well, they began to get together and pray. And for those who know the story, Pastor Rubal was actually murdered by someone in the cartel because of the powerful influence that prayer began to bring to his nation, began to just shake loose the foundations of darkness and began to bring breakthroughs. The cartels began to come apart, and prayer vigils began to be scheduled, and there would be 30, 40,000 people in these prayer vigils that would go through the night. And often there were as many people outside these soccer stadiums as there were inside, because there wasn't room for them to get in. And as they began to pray and seek God, God began to change the spiritual climate in their nation and began to bring growth to every congregation that lifted up the name of Christ. And that is exactly what you said earlier, Chris. This isn't about an individual body of believers alone. It is about the heart of God to reach our nation, the heart of God to reach the Treasure Coast, and the heart of God to reach our individual cities. And as they did that, even though Pastor Rubal lost his life, as those leaders began to come together, it was difficult at first. A lot of them, it was a sacrifice to make it a priority. But as they began to come together, years later, Ruth Rubal would tell me this of what took place. Just as Israel, there were different tribes, 12 tribes. They each had their banners. They each had their own location in the land, their own inheritance. But when those 12 tribes were honoring God and serving God, the blessing of God was on the entire nation of Israel. Ruth said that when the pastors from the different denominations, these different leaders, some from large churches, a lot from small churches, but when they came together, they cared more about the kingdom of God and reaching the lost and growth in the kingdom than their individual congregations, there was just an explosion of growth that took place in the body of Christ. And today, if you go to Colombia, you're going to find congregations that are huge. There's congregations that run into the several hundred thousand, and it is amazing what God is doing there today. Chris, I believe that we serve the same God today as in the days of Pentecost when the church was birthed. I believe God wants to do the same things, to where we get together, we break bread, we fellowship, we pray, we fast together, and we love each other. We love the lost together. And I believe collectively God has a plan to bring a great, tremendous transformation in the marketplace, in the civic arena, and also in the body of Christ as we seek his face.
Well, again, you know, that story with Colombia is not a story. It's factual, as you say. I mean, it's incredible. But a man's life was sacrificed, and often when we do this, there are going to be some pains by coming together, but we need to. And again, I can't overemphasize the excitement of all the different people that were there that night. And that was the presence of the Holy Spirit that was filled that room. The atmosphere was filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to grow this Treasure Coast Coalition, we're going to see, just as I said earlier, great things in our community.
In sharing with Pastor Sam Chess one afternoon, Sam put some of the notes together that just kind of were discussed that day. And we were talking about these very things, Chris, the early church, how it was birthed out of agreement. They were in the in a room, in a place together. They were seeking the heart of God. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church in through that atmosphere. And, of course, we know what took place, that the church grew and grew by thousands and continued to grow and then spread out across the known world until it would be said that that basically the gospel had reached out to every part of the world at that time. I don't believe we have yet seen what God desires to do here on the Treasure Coast of Florida in the body of Christ. If we as pastors, if we as ministry leaders, if we as Christian business owners, if we as local believers in Christ who are involved in the local government, if God could touch our hearts in a fresh way to where we could get a hold of the plow, as it were, to serve God, serve each other, serve in the kingdom together, I just believe that God wants to release in 2018 a tremendous fresh anointing on this Treasure Coast that is going to be something we've never yet seen. If we could adopt a washing of the feet mentality rather than pushing our positions, pushing our personalities, pushing perhaps our traditions, our denominations, our preferences, if we could make this, Chris, about Jesus, make this about Jesus in the street, make this about the Word of God, and connect our hearts and sincerely seek the face of God, I believe that we will see God do some awesome things here. I want to give you an opportunity to maybe give a closing remark, and then I'm going to close with a scripture from Joshua. And so, Chris, if there's something else on your heart before we close today, go ahead and share that.
Well, I just want to say it, and you basically said the washing of feet, but it's that humility that all of us, without exception, need to have. Because if we are to bring people, lead people to Christ, it's going to be by love. And Andy Stanley said it best. Andy said, love is a verb, not a noun. The moment you let love become a noun, all is lost. So we have constantly need to be an act of loving on one another and bringing one another together in the Spirit of Christ so that the Holy Spirit can just do incredible works over our community. We've seen it. It's going on now, and we know it will only get better in the future if we will come together as the body of Christ right here in the Treasure Coast.
You know, Chris, my father said many times as I was growing up, I heard him say this many times, that it has not yet been seen what God can do with an individual, with a church or a community that is not concerned about who gets the credit. And I believe those are the kind of days we were talking about washing feet. This is something God dealt very strongly in my life. I hate to admit it, but it's the truth. Chris, I was as religious, as arrogant. I felt as though I was spiritually superior in some ways. There was a lot of pride and arrogance and division and independence in my heart. And God has worked to crush that because it was a barrier to what God wanted to do on the Treasure Coast, in my life, in my family, and a great barrier to the call of God on my life. This passage in Joshua chapter 3 is a passage that I believe is relevant for the Treasure Coast. I believe it's relevant for all of the body of Christ. But this was right at the crossing. They're getting ready to cross. And so after 3 days, this is verse 2, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Chris, when I read this some years ago and God began to deal with my heart about this passage of Scripture, it talks about the priest. When you see the priest, they were together carrying the Ark. And God began to deal with me that no one of us in this city are carrying the Ark alone. None of us are here with all the anointing. None of us are here with all the answers. None of us are here with all the solutions. None of our buildings, whether big or small, none of our congregations, big or small, alone carry the anointing of God. But it is when we collectively together, as pastors, as ministry leaders in this community, can understand the heart of God, we can link up our hearts and our hands with the will of God, with the Spirit of God, and then we as leaders step out and begin to move. Then, just as all of Israel, who they didn't know where they were to go, they didn't understand how God was going to do it, but when they looked at the ark, when they looked at the leaders, when they looked at what God was leading them to do, then they were together able to find the mind, the heart, and direction of God as a nation. I do believe that we are facing some opportunities that we've never had before. I believe this is a window of opportunity. Jonathan Kahn talks about this. And in this window of opportunity that God is giving us in the body of Christ and as individual believers, I truly believe, Chris, that if we collectively can submit our agendas and connect our hearts with the purpose, with the will of God, under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are going to see strongholds come down. We're going to see miraculous signs and wonders with healings in families, financial miracles in businesses. We're going to see marriages restored. We're going to see lives transformed. And I want to say in these closing minutes, if you are listening today and you have been discouraged by the condition of the body of Christ, you've been involved in a church that split, you've had a pastor that failed, you have some negative thoughts in your heart, I want to encourage you to take those to God today and understand that God is bigger than all of that, and God has a call and a purpose, as Chris said, for your life today. And I would encourage you today to welcome Jesus Christ as Lord into your life. Someone told me there's only two kinds of people: those who have a wonderful, powerful, real relationship with Jesus Christ, and those who want to. Well, I trust today that either you have a genuine, sincere, powerful relationship with Jesus Christ, or I trust that you want to. And if you want to, I would encourage you today to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Turn your heart over to the Lord. Welcome Him into your life at this time and allow Him to be Lord over your life. I would just say to the brothers, the pastors, the leaders, the business leaders in this community, to all of those in the government that serve God, that we thank God for all of you. And we're here together as the body of Christ to see the glory of the Lord established on our Treasure Coast. May the Lord be with you. Continue to remember Gene and Donna in prayer. And again, I would say a big thank you for the opportunity to serve the Lord today on this program.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.
Thank you.